नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। दिस इज द फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 24 एंटाइटल्ड द सबटेरेनियन हेवनली प्लैनेट्स नोन इन संस्कृत एज बिल स्वर्ग एंड टुडे वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट टू टेक्स्ट 19 एंड 20 19 हैज नो परपोर्ट एंड 20 इज अ डिफरेंट टॉपिक सो आई विल जस्ट सिंग द संस्कृत फॉर टेक्स्ट फॉर बोथ टेक्स्ट्स। नो एवैतत् साक्षात्करो भूमिदानस्य यत्तद् भगवतीय शेष जीवनिकायानां जीवभूतात्मभूते परमात्मनि वासुदेवे तीर्थतमे पात्र उपपन्ने परया श्रद्धया परमाधार समाहितमनसा सम्प्रतिपादस्य सम्प्रतिपादितस्य साक्षादपवर्गद्वारस्य यद्बिल निलयैश्वर्यम्। दट् मीन्स् माय डियर् किङ्ग्, Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva. But one should certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of life for all living entities, lives within everyone as the friendly supersoul. And under his direction, a living entity enjoys or suffers in the material world. Greatly appreciating the transcendental qualities of the Lord, Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. For a pure devotee, the door of liberation is automatically opened. One should not think that Bali Maharaj was given so much material opulence merely because of his charity. When one becomes a pure devotee in love, he may also be blessed with a good material position by the will of the Supreme Lord. However, one should not mistakenly think that the material opulence of a devotee is the result of his devotional service. The real result of devotional service is the awakening of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which continues under all circumstances. There's no purport, so we'll go on to text 20. Yasya havavat kshutapatana praskalanadishu vyavashaha sakrin nama vigrahnan purushaha karnava bandhanam anjasa vidhanoti यस्य हैव प्रतिबाधनं मुमुक्षवो अन्यथाइवोपलभन्ते। If one who is embarrassed by hunger, or who falls down, or stumbles, chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karnamis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Let's repeat this. If one who is embarrassed by hunger, or who falls down, or stumbles, chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karnamis, entangled in material activities, face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee free from material desires and motives regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord. And in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhakti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. I'm sorry, bhakti, I should have said. Bhakti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilvamangala Thakur said, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Asman. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 3.177-188, describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Keho bole nama hoite hoi papakshaya. Keho bole nama hoite jiber moksha hoi. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Haridasa kohen namer e dwiphalnai. Namir phale Krishna pade prema upajai. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or freed from the reactions of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anushangik phalanamer mukti papanash tahar drishtanta jaiche shurir prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reactions of sinful activities are only the byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Ei shloker arthakar panditer gan shab kahe tumi kaha artha vivaran. He placed a verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholars asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kohen jaiche surya udai udai nahoi te arambhe tamer hoikshay. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night, even before the sunshine is visible. Chor pret rakshadir bhaya hai nash. Udai hoile dharma karma adi prakash. Even before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night, such as disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties.
Aiche namo dayarambhe papa adirkshaya udai kaile krishna pade hoy premodaya.
Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions. And when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna.
Mukti tuchpala hoy namabhasa hoyte. Je mukti bhakta na loy, she Krishna chahe dite.
A devotee never accepts mukti, even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reactions, is obtained even by namabhasa, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name, before its full light is perfectly visible. The namabhasa stage is between that of nama aparas, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, namabhas, the offenses have almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is the perfection.
Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guroho Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitanscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangirathe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
In these verses we have two topics. The first one is dealing with Bali Maharaj, elaborating on his surrender. There's a lot that can be said in each case, but because there's no purport to text 19, I'll overlook that for now. And maybe more significantly, the text 20 is dealing with the glories of the holy name. It says, if one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles and chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately freed from the reactions of his past deeds. Karnamis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. Srila Prabhupada is quoted, Bilva Mangala Thakur here. There's another nice verse from Krishna Karanamrita by the same author, Bilva Mangala Thakur. And there he says that with their eight-pointed dedication, the yogis cannot so easily attain the same result that the gopis attained with their one-pointed devotion. So devotional service far surpasses karma, jnana, and yoga. Anybody know this verse that Prabhupada is paraphrasing here? Mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate sman. Another famous verse from Krishna Karnamrita. Yeah. Bhakti twayi sthiratara bhagavan yadisyat. My dear Lord, if we have firm devotion, sthiratara bhakti, unto your lotus feet, daivena na phaleti divya kishora murti, then the result of that, by the Lord's grace, is that we achieve the Divya Kishora Murti, the transcendental, youthful form of Lord Krishna. Mukti swayam mukulitanjali sevate asman, and Mukti herself is standing before us with folded hands, that is to say, ready to offer whatever service she can. Dharnamarta kama gataya samaya pratiksha, and her three maidservants, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, they're in attendance, waiting with her to do anything that the devotee needs. Therefore, we sing in Guru Puja, Guru Mukha Padma Bhako Chitete Koriya Aiko, Arna Koriho Mani Asha. Why? Sri Guru Charane Rati, Eshe Uttama Gati, Je Prashade Pure Sarvayash. Any desire we have will be fulfilled by divine grace. His divine grace, we say. Whose divine grace? Krishna's divine grace. Why? Praptasya Kalyana Gunarnavasya. Because he's pulling these wonderful things out of the ocean, just like a cloud evaporates ocean, an ocean of water. We have the Pacific Ocean nearby, we can appreciate the analogy. Huge, inestimable amount of water. Tons, tons of gallons of water are there. So Krishna's Gunarnava, transcendental qualities, he's full of all this wonder, spiritual wonder. Our acharyas, they define the essence of rasa is wonder, to be awestruck, chamatkar, vismita, to be fascinated by the wonder of Krishna's qualities and his divinity. So the spiritual master is able to pull this out of that ocean and he's raining it down upon all of us. Prabhupada used to quote the poet Shakespeare, I think. Merchant of Venice. The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as if a gentle rain from heaven in this regard. So by the divine grace of the Lord, we can appreciate these things. Therefore, Bilvamangala Thakur is only praying for bhakti, pure bhakti. And everything else will become, whatever else a devotee is requires or wants, it's automatically supplied. Krishna himself says this in many different ways, in many different places, even in Bhagavad Gita as well. What's an example? Famous verse we quote? Not really that one, but Ananyash Chintayanto Mam. Whatever you need, Krishna says, I supply. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yinamam upayanti te. If someone is worshipping me, then whatever intelligence he needs, I supply it. So in this way, how does he do it? He does it through these four. Mukti, dharma, artha, and kama. They become your maidservant if you become Krishna's maidservant. This is the parampara system. So, we're talking specifically, Prabhupada, after establishing this point in his purport. Well, there's a few points, actually, before we go on to the holy name itself. Interestingly, Prabhupada's first sentence, he says, it is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. Even keeping your material possessions in this world, and even without being liberated, you can also engage in devotional service. Now, how is that? We know from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, Krishna says himself, after describing at some length in a few verses, the characteristics of someone who is Brahman realized. What does he say? Brahmabhuta prasannatma. Hmm? mad bhaktim labhate. At that state, Krishna says he gets bhakti. When he's liberated, when you have realized you're not your body, then you get bhakti. Not before then. Before then, it's called something else. What do we call it? Well, sometimes you can call it that, or we can say bhakti abhas, right? This is abhas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur commenting on Hrinamachintamani mentions this. There's a suffix we use in Sanskrit, abhas, a shadow of something. Mm-hmm. So we talk about Vaishnava abhas, Rati abhas, Nama abhas, Bhakti abhas. Mm-hmm. So this is what we have here. Even before we're liberated, and even before we've offered everything that we possess or want unto the Lord, we can still engage in bhakti. How is that? There's only one way. Yes. This is the idea. Therefore, Sri Guru Charane Rati Eshe Uttama Gati Je Prasadi Pure Sarvayasha. Whatever we want is fulfilled by divine grace. Only by divine grace. If we have a sponsor, then we can get into this party. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not possible. So this is indicating bhakti abhas. At least that's what I understand from this first sentence here. And therefore, a devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavor. This is the point. Devotees, Prabhupada mentions here, they do not accept mukti even if the Lord offers it. We need to qualify that. What this means is that a devotee doesn't accept mukti if it is antagonistic to bhakti. If it is favorable for bhakti, then he'll accept it. If it is favorable for bhakti, he'll accept even bhukti, enjoyment. This is the transcendental nature. We're not, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we're not the performers of pious or sinful deeds. Neither do we try to avoid either one of these. Instead, we are the servants of the servants of the holy name. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes here, further on, in the same paragraph, one who becomes a devotee, free from material desires and motives, regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benedictions from the Lord, and in this way, his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti liberation are only byproducts of devotional service that we've already explained. The religiosity comes automatically as the servant of bhakti. So does economic development, facility, you can say, artha, purpose. Your desires are fulfilled automatically by bhakti, and automatically you're liberated. So a devotee sees them all as the same. There are more things to say, but we'll go on now. Now, in this regard, Prabhupada turns to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila Chapter 3, The Glories of Haridas Thakur, and he paraphrases several verses from that passage in which Haridas Thakur is explaining the nature of the holy name. Some people say that the holy name destroys all sins. That's certainly true. And other people say that the holy name liberates one. That's also true, according to the logic we've already explained. But this is not the real glory of the holy name, Haridas Thakur wanted to emphasize. And he explained it also. So in this particular passage, the verses that Prabhupada is quoting, they refer to Nam Abhas. Not offensive chanting, not deliberately or ignorantly committing offenses to the holy name, but making an honest attempt to clear oneself from those offenses. It would seem to me, somebody else who knows more can correct, it would seem to me that that is the pivot around which Namabhas is defined and distinguished from either pure chanting or offensive chanting. I don't see any other defining characteristic here. And that seems to be something that only Krishna can judge. We can't. Therefore, one has to be careful. And therefore, one of those offenses that we're trying to avoid in the clearing stage or the namabhasa stage is blasphemy. Very, very serious. Sometimes it's described as the worst offense. So there are a number of things we can consider here. In Rupa Goswami's Namashtika, he is defined, or not defined, but he's mentioned, he's indicated at least, this Namabhas principle, how it destroys one's sinful reactions, how it gives one liberation, and how it even leads one towards bhakti. What does he say? Anybody know? Verse 2? Jayanam adheyam univrinda geya he janadan janaya paramaksharakrite tvam anadadad abhimanagudiritam nihilo gratapa patalim vilumpasi. Even through nihilo gratapa patalim, the accumulated sufferings of so many ugra karmas, so many sinful activities, those things are also destroyed. How? Tvam anadadapi manag udiritam. Just from even chanting without necessarily adara. Adara means respect. In fact, that word was used in the previous verse. That was how Bali Maharaj regarded Lord Vamanadeva. Parama adara, with great respect. Shraddhaya, paraya shraddhaya, and with the topmost faith. He actually made a real endeavor to surrender unto the Lord. A genuine endeavor to surrender out of genuine appreciation for what the Lord, who the Lord was, what he was offering, what was at stake. He appreciated the actual nature of what was going on. It was, you can say in that sense, not really bhakti abhas. He actually surrendered everything. And he had quite a bit to surrender. It's interesting because we were talking the other day, Sri Shachi Prabhu brought up a very nice question about this Bilaswarga planets that we're discussing in this chapter, subterranean heavenly planets. It was mentioned that they're even more opulent than the heavenly planets themselves. So one wonders, well, how do you get to this place if you're not pious? It would seem that regard or some admixture of devotion for the Supreme or for some authority who's representing the Supreme is the qualification that gets you into the heavenly planets, but it is not the qualification that gives you the sense gratification you desire, it would seem. So here, it's at least implicit that Bali Maharaj donated all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, but one should not, certainly not conclude that he achieved his great worldly opulence in Bilaswarga as a result of his charitable disposition. It would seem implicit that it's a kind of a, you know, someone might think that charity will get you into Bilaswarga. So the previous verse, text 18 said that, and implied that at least, and text 19 does as well. No. Bali Maharaj offered everything at his lotus feet. His purpose, however, was not to, this is Prabhupada's translation of the verse. His purpose, however, was not to gain anything material, but to become a pure devotee. So, even in namabhas, fortunately for us, I mean, really, that's the only access we have, because when we're committing offenses, we cannot get love of Godhead. In fact, even chanting namabhasa will not give you love of Godhead, but because namabhasa will purify us relatively more quickly than namaparatha. Therefore, at some point, that namabhasa will transform into pure chanting, shuddhanama. That's when Krishna reveals himself. These things are described elaborately, minutely, in hair-splitting detail by our acharyas, particularly by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who paraphrases Haridas Thakur, and earlier than that, that's in Harinam Chintamani, and earlier than that, by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambini, wherein he, as they say in the academic world, unpacks the concept of concepts of anartha nivritti and other earlier stages of devotional service. Very, very interesting discussions. We don't really have time to deal with all of them. But, as I'm saying, even without proper respect, if one chants the holy name of the Lord, that will destroy heaps of sinful reactions. And he goes on to say, yada bhasa pyudyan kavalada bhavad bhanta vibhavam drasham tatvantanam apidishade bhakti pranayanim janastasyo dattam jagati bhagavan nama tarane kriti te nirvaktam ka ihamahimanam prabhavati. All this yada bhasa, even the dim reflection of the chanting of this holy name, he says, kavalada bhavad dvanta vibhavam, will destroy so much ignorance. Ignorance is the source of our offenses. It's the source of our sinful activities. It is the source of our aparadhas. The ignorance we have accumulated, the film of our mind, you can say, the bad samskars that impel us on in material existence. We have two kinds. One of them is ahamta, self-absorption, and the other one is mamata, the sense of possession. Now, the beauty of bhakti is that it can deal with these two things. Karma cannot deal with them. We know that from the story of Ajamil, karma alone is not sufficient to tackle these big monsters that we have to wrestle with when we chant japa or try to execute devotional service in a society of devotees. It's very difficult because of these two things. And the karma cannot help us deal with it. Jnana cannot deal with it because jnana doesn't deal with duality. Jnana deals with non-duality. Therefore, it's purely hypothetical and useless for all practical purposes. Even yoga cannot help us here. Therefore, we say, Harinama, 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 Iva Kelam, Klo Nascheva, 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 three times. The first time means not karma, second time means not jnana, third time means not yoga. Only Nama, Harinama, especially in this Kali Yuga. Therefore, we have such mercy in the form of Krishna's holy name. It is really just mercy that he's agreed to deal with us, even though we're offensive. And there are different kinds of offenses, or different kinds of namaparad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's namaparad with faith, and there's namaparad without faith. There's namaparad that obscures the nature of the name. That's the Mayavadi conception. Therefore, when we go and chant with Mayavadis, we have to be very careful. Because they are committing this. You know, some devotees even listen to this Krishnadas, you know. Yeah, I mean, it just amazes me. Sarapo chishtam yathapaya, Sanatan Goswami says. So we have to be very careful. Because all these things have been scrutinizingly detailed and great, elaborately by our acharyas, just for us. If we take advantage of these books, we can help to direct our efforts in the most productive way possible. So, the Puranas say, aprarabdham phalam papam kutam bijam phalonmukham kramena eva pratiyeta vishnu bhakti ratatmanam. If someone is engaged in Vishnu bhakti, 10%. What is the time now? Oh, we can't go on. Sorry about that. If one is engaged in bhakti, then all the aparadabdha karmas are going to be erased. And this is effected chiefly through chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that's a great science, and it's going to have to wait for for another class, but these are some thoughts we can consider with regards to this purport. Wonderful, very, very nice purport by Srila Prabhupada. Paraphrasing Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I said, that's Anjali Lila chapter 3. You can read it for more details. Otherwise, does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Arjita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, nice class. I'll throw two things out. We may not have time to tackle it, so we can certainly take the conversation outside. But the first thing would be regarding the first verse, Bali Maharaj's situation. It is stated that here that it's not because of his charity that he got his position. But does that mean then that everybody else on the same level in the subterranean heavenly planets also had a genuine attraction to the Lord, that's why they're there? You know, that would be the question. Because keeping in mind that Krishna says in the 16th chapter, describing the demoniac nature, that the demons also give charity. They also perform sacrifice. So, but it's for the wrong reason. So we should keep that in mind. It's not that only those who are piously inclined perform sacrifice and give charity.
Yeah.
Those who are impiously inclined also perform charity and sacrifices. So you know, that would be one question. And the second part would be regarding the second verse. If Namabhas gives liberation, does that mean then that those who take to the chanting of the holy name and fall down, they never attain Namabhas even? That would be the question.
Say this again, the second one.
In other words, if Namabhas gives you liberation, just a glimmer of the pure chanting starts to give you liberation, does that mean that those who take to the chanting and fall down, does that mean that they never even achieve the Namabhas state? That would be a...
Yeah, well, this is why I said that it seems to me that only Krishna can really determine who is chanting Namabhas and who is not chanting Namabhas, because for the rest of us, it involves too many things that are achintya, things that we just have no... I should say no adhikar for. And adhikar has two meanings. Adhikar means what you're qualified to do, and it also means what you have been authorized to do. And in both senses, we really can't really understand another person's position. Therefore, Bhagavatam advises us, parasva bhava karmani na prashamse na garhayat. One should neither criticize nor praise the conditional nature or activities of another person. Vishvamekatmakam pasyan prakritya purushena cha. Instead, one should see the entire universe operating as a harmonious interplay of purusha and prakriti, which is, in ordinary language, means everybody has his place. Regarding your first point, it would seem that the assumption is that by some sort of pious activities, one can attain even this bilaswarga. It's not necessarily by impious activities that you get there. Because the general rule holds that by executing some degree of sacrifice, charity, and austerity, you get sense gratification. And without doing that, you get misery. And secondly, I would take it a step further. Your example that the demons also do these things, I would say that they even worship Vishnu. The famous deity in Mathura, Varahadev, the deity was actually previously in Sri Lanka, worshipped by Ravana, before he was captured by Shatrughna and brought to Mathura. So that means they're doing deity worship even there. So it gives us something to think about with regards to ourselves, doesn't it? Anything else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.